From Italy to the Canadian Rockies and beyond, Gazette Travel makes exploring the world easy and stress-free. See our full lineup of tours at thegazette.com/travel.
Welcome to the Pinning Combination Podcast, College Edition. What are you doing there? Some calisthenics to get ready?
So we can get going here, ready to go.
I'm KJ Pilcher with the Gazette alongside Dick Briggs, ready to talk a little college wrestling. We've got a couple Iowa duels to kind of go over this last weekend, including senior night against Michigan. And their win over Purdue as well to cap the weekend. Then we had a big one in state with Iowa State, you and I, after both of them wrestled West Virginia. I was at Cohen Cornell last week, and I'll touch on that quickly as D3s are getting ready for they're heading to the postseason now. But Briggsy, ready to chat a little college man's?
Yeah, we had some things to talk about this week, so yep.
Oh, for sure. Well, first off, let's jump right into the University of Iowa's a weekend. They had Michigan on Friday, number 10 Michigan, that is. And then they followed that up with a trip to Purdue on Sunday. But Friday night, senior night, you know, that's always kind of a special deal. Did not start out real hot. Ominous start there. Of course, they started at 141. Iowa lost the flip, so Michigan had the choice to pick the weight, and they started at 141, which I thought was kind of interesting. For that, but the Hawkeyes kind of got in a little bit of a hole early on and had to climb out of it. Got some late heroics from the seniors, coincidentally on senior night. Drake Ayala with a big technical fall in the final bout to seal it, but you know, Iowa down 10-0 to start after the first three weights, battled back. What'd you think about Iowa coming away with the 19-17 win over Michigan?
I thought it was one of those where you win ugly.
Yes.
You know, it was not pretty. I don't think they endured their fans, Iowa. The Hawkeye fans have been grumbling all season long, or most of the season. And, you know, although Iowa won 19-17, I don't know that they can, you know, be real proud of that, you know, based on
really?
I just think that there are some disappointments. I mean, I think at 41 was, you know, a major, you know, they gave up a major there. Peterson did. Mm-hmm. Block was, didn't get upset, but got beat 8-3 to an equally seeded or ranked wrestler. And then Jordan Williams, I mean, he's been all over the place this year. Gave up a loss there, and Patrick Kennedy, you know, Montanoyas, Bo and Brock, they're, you know, when you give him an opportunity like that in sudden victory and get scrambling around with in this case, it was Bo, they're going to burn you. They're fun to watch because they're so funky. So anyway, those are the disappointing things for me.
I'm gonna fundamentally disagree with you on a few things.
Okay.
There, Lachlan McNeil, transfer from North Carolina. He was somebody that's been a top six guy. That's an All American that block faced. I do expect better from Block, but I'm not necessarily that that down on that. Williams, I thought Williams wrestled with a lot more energy. You know, he's given up I guess I've seen him with less energy. You know, I think of the takedown that he gave up against Vinny Zerbin and gave up a major, and then giving up a major late, I think, in the Minnesota duel. Cam Catcherbone, he took PJ Duke down to the bitter end. I mean, that's not a bad – I'm surprised that Catcherbone's only ranked 13th. He is ranked higher than Williams, and for it to be 5-4, and I thought Williams had a lot more energy and wrestled with just a little better than we've seen him, even though he still lost. So I guess if you're going to do the bottom line thing there, can't argue with the fact that he still lost. But the Kennedy match, I also think in sudden victory, if you're going to call Dylan Fishback's takedown, I think Kennedy was in the exact same position for the same amount of time. You give Mantinona reaction time. You don't do it for Arnold. I think there's some inconsistency there. Maybe I'm just making an excuse for Patrick Kennedy, but should it have come down to that? No, probably not. You know, that may be the one disappointment. You know, Gabe Arnold wrestled a guy that's projected to be an All-American and won in tiebreakers. I thought Harvey Luddington wrestled really, really well, and that was huge for him. Keeter was that's a disappointment. That the Keeter match is the one that really Peterson and Keeter were the two that really, if you really want to point out, Peterson didn't have anything there at 141 for Ragusan, who's not the same Dylan Ragusan he's been in years past. It's obvious there. But Keeter, that after you get ridden out the entire first period, why are you choosing down for the second? You get ridden out. Riding time is a locket for Gadiali at that time. Why are you riding for so long, or why are you riding at all in the third period? You're not gonna erase riding time. How many times do you turn a guy that's ranked fifth, somebody that's a quality heavyweight? It's almost like they were wrestling to avoid bonus points.
Right, I agree.
You know, so I think if we're going to agree, I think 41 and heavyweight, I guess you could look at Peterson too, but I still don't know if Peterson's 100% healthy. I think he's giving it a go because he has to right now. But he still won, and then Ayala, looked really, really good. So, yeah. I mean, there are some things, I guess I agree with you. There are a few things. I'm not that down on Block. I'm not that down on Williams. Caliendo took care of business. I thought Arnold did fine. Luddington had a nice win there. Keeter, yeah, that was a disappointment. And then the last two coming through to get the win. I'm not so negative on that. You know, and heavyweight was just a head scratcher. I still don't understand. And I don't understand why they didn't throw a brick to challenge in the 74 pound match in sudden victory. Now, it turned out to be a positive for them because they were able to challenge in the 97 match and won that challenge. And that turned out to be beneficial in Luddington's win. Where they got the riding time fixed and then a locked hands call added onto it. So I guess it worked out. But
so I'm looking at it this way. Michigan won the toss, started at 41. Iowa goes out and does not win the first three matches. Peterson gets majored. Block, yeah, that's a tough match there. but by and Williams as well. By Iowa standards, it's not, you know, it's not a good loss or whatever, however you say that.
Just trying to be fair, they weren't expected to win those first three matches if you want to look at it on paper. Now, you know, you can, you know, paper's also used to clean yourself, if you know what I'm saying. So I guess, you know, you can't, I guess I'm resorting to something that really doesn't mean much, but I just, you know, yeah, well, it's disappointing, and you would hope that they would come through in a couple of those matches, but technically, you know, they weren't expected to win those.
Now, I had them as toss-ups. And so when you have a toss-up, that means it's at least going to be a close score. 41 and 49, not really that close.
41 wasn't, no.
Yeah, and so, and that's my point there.
Okay.
Gabe Arnold taking it into tiebreaker, all the way into tiebreaker and winning, you know, because he rode out a little bit more, which you know he was going to do because Brock in this case, those kids aren't explosive underneath. That's how they earn their money, is with that funkiness. And so you knew that was going to happen. So it's just, it was winning ugly with Arnold. And I like him. He's a great guy. And I just wish, I'm so frustrated. I want him to bust open and show us all that talent that he's just, you know, he's harboring. And so that's my frustration with Gabe. And he won. And he's won. I have him down as the highlight. So that's a nice win over the number seven ranked or whatever he is, ranked wrestler. So big win there. And Gabe's had some big wins with Ferrari's absence here. So he's done a real nice job. Ludington, I was impressed there for sure. Yep. And then Keeter, 10-0. And then, again, Dean Peterson winning in sudden victory, 4-1. He can buy again. And that's not the Iowa way. That's not what the fans want. It's not what the coaches want. It's not what the – I don't think the wrestlers want that. But it's just – they just – it's like they're shackled or something. And I think that's the frustration that probably the fans have.
And it goes down to that debate. And I know – we've heard it from people, I think of Mark Ironside, listening to him on some podcasts and even the radio calls. It comes down to that debate, right? It's not necessarily the wins and the losses, but it's the effort and the way they compete that's the difference. And I think that's kind of where we're sitting at.
I agree. And how they manage their matches. Some are just, you know, wrestling to win and eke it out at the end or whatever, it seems. And so, maybe not in the cards, but.
So what did you think of that heavyweight match? Did you get the feeling like it was just trying to limit?
I think losses? You nailed it. Honestly, I think you nailed it with your description. So
see, that would be my biggest, issue.
Yeah.
Is what coach, or I'm not putting it on a coach, but who wants that, you know, especially at that level? And it just seemed like that's what they were doing, and it's like you're not used to seeing that from them. Right.
So and you know, this is silliness, but it's still something that Iowa has done, and they're proud of it, and so are the Iowa fans. But Iowa has had a national runner, a finalist, for how many years now? For a dozen years or whatever it's been?
Oh, it's like 38.
38 years in a row, is that right?
It's been a while. It's been maybe the year that Arizona State won, maybe 87 or something like that.
Oh, good. Holy. So, yeah. Okay, yeah. I see why they're that's quite a string. So, you know, I know that there's probably people out there going, "Uh-oh, is this the year?" But they don't have a finalist. So anyway, we'll wait and see on that one. But nevertheless, who's it going to be?
Yeah, since 1990, okay, they've had a finalist every year since 1990. So, who won it in 1989? Was that the year Arizona State won it?
I think Iowa State
under Douglas. Might have been, but ever since 1990, I think it might have been Tom Brands' freshman year when he got fourth. That might have been the last year that Iowa did not have a finalist.
Wow.
Because there that was under they were worried about that snap, and then Drake Ayala made a run to the finals down in Kansas City.
Right.
And stuff. So since 1990. And then of course Buchanan last year and Caliendo and Ayala, but you get what I'm saying. Iowa did bounce back and wrestled a little better against Purdue again. You know, kind of that bully syndrome, right? The guys that the ones that you know you can dominate, you kind of bully around, and that's what they did with Purdue. Won 8 of those matches. The big one was at 165, where Joey Blaze beat Caliendo 7-4. Got the lone takedown in the second period. Joey Blaze has not given up a takedown all season.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, especially in the Big Ten, with a Big Ten schedule. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wild. But, and Harvey Ludington with a pin. That was his last competition. Brands confirmed after the Michigan duel that Ludington would redshirt. So that was his last available competition to maintain his redshirt. So what Iowa does at 197 is a question mark kind of going forward. Is it going to be Samson? He didn't wrestle at Michigan State because he apparently was nicked up, according to Tom Brands. Is it going to be Gabe Arnold? I think a lot of people assume that until Angelo Ferrari started missing some time. I know I've listened to some reports, and Ferrari is wrestling, must have been in a boot or something, to now wrestling again in the room. I suspect he'll be back for the Big Tens. I doubt he wrestles at Oklahoma State. And then you think we see Arnold at 97?
You know, if Ferrari does in fact come back for Oklahoma State, then I think we see Arnold at 97. For Big Tens and for the postseason, I think we do. He just doesn't have the body size, but he keeps things tight and close. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But I think yes.
Okay. All right. And who knows? Maybe he has to change some things up and rely on his quickness and athleticism against some of those bigger guys instead of trying to clinch and hold it and gets loose. I doubt it, but, you know.
Love to see that. Yeah,
that'd be great. Right? And trying to maybe use his athleticism and quickness. And, you know, we've seen his flexibility. Remember some of those matches with him and Nakaborn that we called and,
right,
and watched. You know, he's got it. And maybe against the bigger opponents, he'll use it a little more, or he'll have to. But we'll see. But I agree we'll probably see him at 97 for the postseason. The other interesting thing from Purdue, Victor Voinovich, you know, he got the call the weekend before against Ohio State, Michigan State, won both of those. Williams went against Michigan and lost. Voinovich wrestled number 28 Stoney Buell and won 5-0 at Purdue. So even though I think right now Williams is the guy, boy, I'm not sure the door is shut and locked on Victor Voinovich yet.
I'm not either. And reports were out, I wasn't there, but maybe you can tell me, he did not participate in senior celebration or whatever.
Right. He did not. So that means he could be coming back next year.
a good possibility of that. So that being the case, I mean, the reason I say that is because now, you know, he's coming back. If he's not, you know, maybe just make your decision based on that, or have that, that might influence it a little bit. So sure. I think now that, because he's coming back, that that kind of influences it a little bit in his favor in the coach's minds, or at least maybe just slightly. But I'm going to put the best guy out there that think they have an opportunity to score points and go as far as he can. So I'm not sure that you're right. That's been all season long, back and forth. And right. I don't know where that was, who's going to be there.
Just kind of look at, you know, Cale Peterson won, Ryder Block won against a 31st ranked guy. The rest of the guys kind of took care of business. You know, no Keeter in the Purdue duel. Gage Marty got the start, lost 1-7 victory to against a decent heavyweight, Hayden Filipovich. But I'm guessing it was just maybe a chance for Keeter to reset and refocus here for Oklahoma State. That's coming up on Sunday, 5 p.m. start down in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I believe Oklahoma State's coming off a win against Virginia Tech. Any chance for Iowa to win against Okie State again, or will the Cowboys have their number this weekend?
All right, so here's what I did. Based on what I think the matchups will be, I have 25 Peterson Spratley a toss up, Ayala 133 Ayala Forrest a toss up. I'd like to think Drake's that he's got this thing rolling and he can beat Forrest, but Forrest is tough. And then 141 Vega. And I don't even know who they're going to put out there. Bailey, I don't know. So, but it could be Vega. I've got Vega winning that, and maybe with a bonus point.
Bonus points.
But depending on who they throw out. At 149, it's Swiderski, Oklahoma State. We know that, of course, we know Casey from Iowa State. And then versus Ryder Block, I've got Swiderski. That's just me thinking Block's, you know, maybe did this and is kind of doing a little bit of this right now. So sure. I like to see
Block did win that one in the National Duels Invitational.
Right.
But
it was close though.
But we're different. Yeah. I think they're both on different trajectories at the moment.
Right. And that's why I'm basing that on. So yep. That one's kind of a toss up, but I'm favoring Swiderski just that much. But let's go Ryder. Okay. 157, Rubidoux. And I guess Williams or Voinovich. I'm not sure who's going out there, but you got to favor Rubidoux on that one.
Kind of interesting there. Both of them are former Cowboys. That's Voinovich and Jordan Williams, both former Oklahoma State starters. Williams then transferred to Arkansas Little Rock before transferring to Iowa. Voinovich came from Oklahoma State to Iowa City, so. I'm sure they'll both get, regardless of who it is, they'll get quite the Cowboy salute, I'm sure, from the Gallagher-Iowa Arena fans, right?
Right, for sure. And then 165, Caliendo and Lockett. Boy, I got that one as a toss-up. I'd like to think Caliendo, but we'll see.
And Lockett beat him.
What's that?
Lockett beat him in the duel earlier, yeah. So
right.
That's one you'd hope Caliendo has, you know, that's one he wants back. But Lockett's very athletic and explosive.
Right, I always love the revenge factor. Yeah. When kids, they're using that as their energy throughout their training, you know, throughout the week and weeks prior. So, and then at 184. I wasn't sure if Ferrari was going to be back or not, and I didn't think so since he was in a boot, and it doesn't make much sense to take care of that guy because that's your money, man, come Nationals. So if he's not back, then I suspect they'll put Arnold in there, and then I don't know. Is it a toss-up? Anything's a toss-up with Arnold, right?
I think so. He's going to be in everything and doesn't doesn't pull away from anybody either. So
no, not at all. So then that means 97 is probably a favorite for Oklahoma State and maybe bonus. I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. And then at heavyweight, Keeter and Duchette, I think it's a toss up. Don't you?
It depends on which Keeter shows up.
Yeah, and I'm concerned that he wasn't in the lineup against Purdue. Is there a mental thing, or is there a physical thing, or was it just
I think it's a mental thing. I think personally, I think it's probably an opportunity just to reset. Hey, just go take the day off. You know, don't worry about anything. You know, just kind of forget about life for a while, you know, the old Cheers lyric. And get your mind off it and relax and reset Monday or Tuesday when we start practicing, gearing up for Oklahoma State.
So to answer your question initially, after I broke it down weight by weight, Oklahoma State could run away at this. I mean, if they won all those toss-up matches, there's a bunch of toss-up matches,
right?
Like half of them, and or more. And and
you know the environment's not going to be welcoming. It's going to be, it's going to be crazy. They've really have been rejuvenated down there as far as the fan base goes with Taylor and what they've done, and guys like Jax Forrest in the lineup. Be interesting to see if he goes. I think he's at his, max after the Virginia Tech duel. I'm assuming he's going to go. Why would you join a program at semester and then why would you leave high school, join a program at semester if your plan wasn't to wrestle? You know?
You know, here's one,
especially with the results he's had.
Right. Here's one thing though that they might be considering. 33 is stacked to the brim. It's loaded. And he's one of them. He's right there. He could certainly win it. But do you say, okay, let's just back off and save our 4 years, when it's not quite after these seniors are gone. So that might be an influence. So I didn't even think about that. I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah. But still, I think regardless of who's at 133, I still think this is a lopsided duel. Yep. I think it could be similar to Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think it could end up like that, depending on the matchups and stuff. But I don't think it favors Iowa too well. And you never know, but just on paper. So, well, let's shift gears. Sunday night, big one in the Big 12. Intrastate duel between Iowa State and UNI. UNI is a little shorthanded, but Iowa State, man, they look good. They look like they're clicking on almost all cylinders.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa State's so tough this year, and I don't think even with those injured wrestlers for UNI, it would have made much of a difference. No. We can be real brief on this as a UNI grad.
Sweep that under the rug a little bit. That's
right. I got you. No, I really like Iowa State, and I like their coaching staff, and I like what they're doing up there, and I like that it seems like it seems like a friendly competition or between the coaches. But I know both of those guys want to win that duel no matter what. Oh. So they're going to battle, but they're going to do it in a neat way. So,
I don't know if you watched it or listened to the call. Tom Crochelle, Kyvan Gadson had the call when I was watching on ESPN Plus Sunday night. The way Crochelle described it, and I think is that I think there's a mutual respect there that, you know, they try to have fun, they try to entertain, and that, you know, they want to get the better of each other. There's no doubt about it, but they do it within the confines of that mutual respect. And, make no mistake about it. They want to be on top of, you know, when it's all said and done, but they also have fun with it. And it's not, not a spiteful or petty rivalry, if that makes sense.
You might not see any pushing or fisticuffs or anything like that.
There'll be a lot of finger pointing and yelling.
Oh yeah. Sure. Yeah. And you know, do you remember you and I, it was pretty senior laden the last year. They had that great senior class so, you know, they graduated those guys. And now Iowa State's sitting in that, you know, sitting there. They've got such a bunch of seniors, you know, that have been on that in the program for a while. At least pretty darn good ones, anyway. Yep. So, and then actually some that just joined, you know, with Dean and Elam at 97. So they're kind of. I mean, I know Iowa State's looking at it, going, we got to do it this year because they're going to look beyond that as well, but. This has got to be their year with all that the group that they have.
For sure. Just a couple things to point out. Evan Frost did not wrestle for Iowa State. Garrett Grice stepped in and knocked off Julian Farber 5-4. So the youngster getting a chance there and capitalizing for Iowa State. Vinny Zurbin. You know, he's kind of been banged up. He looked really good with a major at 157. So if he's getting healthy, that's a good sign for Iowa State as the postseason approaches. MJ Gaetan with a big win there. One of those toss-up matches in the duel. Came back and beat Jared Sima 8-5 in sudden victory. Gaetan has to be the most frustrating person to wrestle. He doesn't initiate a lot of stuff, forces you to kind of initiate things. And then the way he rolls, his counter wrestling has to be the most frustrating thing for opponents to deal with, because Sima was in so many times and close to getting takedowns. And next thing you know, you're in a stalemate situation or you're scrambling for your life because – he's so comfortable and puts you in weird positions.
And that's those Montanonias from Michigan. I throw them in the same category. It's frustrating. It's fun to watch, but unless you're on the losing side. End of those scrambles. But I agreed. Yeah.
And then one thing for, Ryder Downey came away with a win. Izzy Moreno. Got the call at 184 and almost had a major against Manny Rojas there. Just more depth there at 184 for you and I when you think of Fox and Walrath and Moreno. Max Brady didn't back down from Anthony Anchimendia. I know it turned out to be a major. Brady, a youngster, stepping in. But I think he's got a bright future, and hopefully there's a spot he can get in the lineup next year when Land is healthy and everything else, because I think Max Brady will be fun to watch down the road. But
I would agree there. Yeah, and I don't know what's going on with Dean. He's been out of the lineup for a couple of duels, if I remember right.
Yeah.
At 84, so hopefully he's getting healthy and will be healthy for postseason.
Yep. Same with Frost.
And Frost.
Well, 133.
And that's his first time out. So hopefully that's just those Frosts were battling flu, I guess, and illness early, not too long ago. And so maybe it's still lingering. Or maybe he was overweight just a little bit. Who knows?
Yeah. Iowa State back in the competition on Sunday for senior day against Mizzou at 2 p.m. Do you know who UNI has next?
Do they have Wisconsin? Wisconsin, yes.
Okay.
On Sunday. Same time, Sunday. I think.
Okay. So you have some options there to watch a duel in person in Ames and Cedar Falls, and then tune in for Iowa-Oklahoma State at 5 p.m. after a week's worth of state wrestling down in Des Moines. Midweek, kind of an interesting midweek duel, shift to D3s. I was at Cornell on Wednesday, which was convenient because it kind of fit right in between everything. You know, remember last year, Cornell had won going into the last match. They got a win at heavyweight to beat Cole for the first time in like 15 years or so. This time at Cohawk Arena, it was all Cole pretty much. Cole won 32-7 in the Bremner Cup Series duel. Braden Park started things off with a tech fall. Dresden Grimm had a pin at 141. Ty Kudum nearly had a major at 149. Co-closed with four straight wins. Anthony Montez at 174. Justin Wirtz at 184. Jean Nagoma at 197. Wyatt Smith at heavyweight with a win there. Big wins for Kudum and Nagoma beating ranked wrestlers. Bo Kudum beat number six Brian Petrie 10-3. Looked really, really tough. Jean Nagoma, who transferred in at semester, has joined the lineup, really helped solidify the upper weights there. He beat number 18 Jackson Brinker 8-6. So I'm sure the Cohawks pretty happy that they got the Bremner Cup series back on their side.
Right. And it's so fun for us to see a lot of kids you covered, we've covered, Nagoma from Xavier, you got Smith from Lisbon, you got Park from Windmar, on and on. Kudum's your old teammate's son, isn't it?
Yep. Yep.
And so, you know, it's just fun to – that's why I love – right, and that's why I love D3, because you're getting a whole lot of Iowa flavor. And actually those – not that the others aren't, but they're wrestling for the right reason. They're not wrestling necessarily for a big payday. Not that the other ones are either, but not yet anyway. But
right.
So that's why I love D3. Please support it. And Division II as well.
Sure. Now the D3s are off for just kind of a little bit. You know, finished their regular season a couple days later with a win over University of Dubuque. But now you've got the NCAA regionals at Dubuque on February 27th and 28th. So a little time to amp up and get ready, heal up, prepare for that national qualifier. And, of course, the NCAA tournament here in Cedar Rapids in March 13th and 14th.
Right. It's about a 2-week break, maybe even a little more for some before their last competition in that regional. So they can get, like you said, healed up, prepared, tweak things. You're not going to make big changes or anything now. And right. Your conditioning should already be set by now. So, but you should start trying to taper that and so you can peak.
Okay. Any other general comments or anything that you want to point out here?
Well, I mentioned D2.
How wrestling goes.
Sure, I mentioned D2, so I should probably mention Upper Iowa. They wrestled in the Great Lakes Valley, is it? Great Lakes Valley Conference.
Yep.
The tournament's like a dual tournament. I think there's only five teams, maybe six, but they lost their first round to Maryville 25-7, and then they came back and beat University of Indianapolis 30-11 to place third in that. So I'm thinking they're probably disappointed at that first loss. So
Yeah, especially after kind of the run that they had after beating Indianapolis a few weeks ago.
Right.
You know, and then getting them again. But what I, you know, what bugs me a little bit is that Upper Iowa, you know, left the Northern Sun Conference go to the Great Lakes Valley Conference, and yet the NCAA is still shipping them north to that. That region is one of the toughest regions in all of D2, and Upper Iowa keeps getting sent that way instead of maybe with some of their conference opponents and going in a different direction. I sure would like to see them send Upper Iowa a different way instead of that meat grinder of a regional with those teams.
Yeah, I'm going off a little bit of your comment, but do they call those super regionals in D2?
Yeah, super regions.
What's the difference? Is it? It's fewer teams, though it's tough teams. It's fewer teams than the Division III, which has like 19 or 20 teams in it, and as opposed to maybe 10 or 12. I remember right in D2.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting, funny.
So what makes it super?
I don't know. Because it's not super regional in Division III. It's just regional.
Right. So, Seems backwards, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get ready. You know, like we said, the postseason's coming. Even D1s are finishing up their regular season here this week. And then March, actually the end of February, beginning of March, we'll be diving headfirst into the postseason on all levels. We'd like to thank everybody for watching. We'll be back next week to kind of recap last weekend, the final weekend of Division I competition. And, Coach, why don't you send us out here this week on our college edition of the Pinning Combination podcast.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.